Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We know that that assures victory, because even though we may be weak and undone, and actually, Lord, in the position which we be called, poverty stricken, by your riches and by your grace, you're able to overcome and to help us. We might be truly seated in heaven places in Christ Jesus and receive the spiritual food in this due season, making us wise unto salvation, getting us ready, preparing according to the word of truth, Lord, which so many people look at and pass over, put it in the past, which it is true in the past, but not realizing it is a perfect picture. It is a type of what has now become the prototype. So help us in our studies to just not neglect any truth, nor feel embarrassed, or feel ashamed, or feel puzzled, or in any way, shape, and form have any doubts or thoughts other than what has been vindicated to us as truth, and by that truth, Lord, we know that we shall be prepared. Help us, therefore, to think in the terms of the truth as vindicated only, not in old creeds and dogmas, for we have no part in them, and they have no part in us, Lord. A new garment without patches, a life, Lord, that has come up to perfection and end of all things in your sight. All things that be shaken, shaken down, and that which can remain, remain. And thou remainest, O God, in your blueprint, your revelation, your manifestation, your interpretation, your presence, whatever we know is given to us in that word which we appreciate and have this morning. So we thank you for victory in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we'll just see how we make out today. I don't know just how collected I am, but it's all right. We'll collect a couple of thoughts anyway. I don't know just what number this is as we're studying Brother Branham's sermon, Seed of Discrepancy, which is simply a sermon on the fact that where God started, all things were good, all things were perfect, all things were pure, and it looked as though God was certainly going to have his kingdom of heaven established on earth, and then in due course of time, if he so desired, he would have that kingdom wherever he wished it and whatever he would do with it. And of course we know that it's what's happened is really a problem, that it would appear that anything that God wanted at that particular time, God didn't get it. Don't mind this, I'm trying to lower this. Okay, now we recall that the mystery of the tares, and the Bible speaks of that in the parable, so-called, really a mystery, of the chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, where Christ is speaking concerning that which is in the beginning and that which will take place at the end, where the kingdom becomes polluted, but at the end time it becomes perfect on the grounds that there'll be nothing left but what God has planted and what God has ordained to be a part of his kingdom. So I want you to remember that as you read, as you think of it this morning. Otherwise, you'll look at this and think, well, that's a little simple story. That's something that is interesting and gives a little picture, but you don't realize it's really the truth. See, it's the people have an idea today that you could pick up maybe 10,000, you could pick up 1 million, you could pick up 5 billion people on earth today. And except for the color of the skin and the slant of the eyes and a few odd little things that they do, they're no different from anybody else. And you say, well now, how in the world are we going to look at this in the eyes that some of these are the children of God and some of these are children of the devil? Well, the point is they simply aren't reading their Bibles and believing it. And that's all that amounts to. You say, well, I think it should be a little more complicated. See, that's where you mess everything up. There isn't any complication here at all. A dog is a dog, a pig is a pig, a horse is a horse. And that's all there is to it. A child of God's a child of God, a child of Satan's a child of Satan. We say, how'd you get that way? Well, what's it to you? Why did Darwin go to the islands of Galapagos and he found eventually that all the white pigeons and all the brown pigeons reverted to a slate gray? You have some kind of selective breeding, and you could do a little bit here, a little bit there. But you can't change species, you can't change life. Now, what they're trying to do is combine lives today and change the outer coating. But they're never going to change it. How are you going to change? I don't care if you do take an ear of a person and put it on a mouse's back. Are we going to now take every ear of every person and put it on a mouse's back? Well, you simply got a little misfit of monstrosity for the time being. But you're never going to change species. It's utterly impossible. It cannot be done. Even people today are looking to go back to original species, so they come up with spelt, which is original wheat and kamut, which is the original derm. They wanted to make some dogs one time that looked like the Egyptian dogs had no hair and they were purple. So they bred them. What happened? They just went back. You can't change these things. Now, we recall that the mystery of the tares among the wheat is Mark 13, 24-30, and verses 36-43 explain the original sowing of God, sons of God. Now, that's just all there is to it. I know that people want to make some great mystery out of this, or they want to change this. You can't change it. It said God simply sowed his own children, and that's all there is to it. If he said he sowed them, then he sowed them. Otherwise, you've got Jesus coming as some sort of a half-baked, stupid philosopher. And if he came as some stupid, half-baked philosopher, just give me one reason why he died on the cross. We're dealing with specifics here, and this is the thing that throws everybody but a certain cultish people like you and me. We're called cults. Well, the word cult is really a good word. So I'm a cult. If you don't like it, they can lump it. People just don't want to believe. Now, if we had 60 people here this morning and said, now, you don't know the first thing about this mystery of the kingdom of God, of the children of God, that God himself brought forth from his own loins through human instrumentality, starting with Jesus. And then he brought forth a serpent seed by Eve, playing the harlot. So I'm not going to take that. Nobody says you have to take anything. Figure up your own stew. When you die with indigestion, that's your tough luck. Because you see, you don't believe. See, that's the trouble. And we know that unbelief is sin. It's the only sin there is. Isn't any other sin. Smoking, drinking, harlotry, all those things come out of the unbelief. If a person really believed, he wouldn't do it. He'd be a real believer. So, all right. In this scripture, which I've not read but read several times, explains the original sowing. The original sowing. What happened in the beginning when God literally brought forth sons of God for the kingdom of heaven. See? Even as is said in Genesis 2, 7 and 15. Now this gives you an idea why God put his sons here and what he wanted. And this is certainly applicable to and complementary to God and his sons. So we look at 2 and 7. And we get there. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So there's your picture. And it's a very nice picture. And this goes with Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now what's the image of God? Jesus. Doesn't Hebrews tell you that's the image of God? Huh? How many images of God? We've got six of them. Fine, name them to me. I'm not trying to brisk you. I'm just trying to make you think. Give me another place where there's an image. The definitive is Christ is the image of God. He is not God, but he's an image. He's the outflowing. He's the expression of the substance of God. Because that's all that was there when he was there. And God said, in thee I've begun my generations this day. Thou art my son, I've begotten thee. And Ephesians says, we were in Christ. And he was in God. Now, if I pull out a bucket of water, a gallon of water from a 5-gallon bucket, and I hold it up here, and I dip in a cup, and I pull out one cup of that water, it's the same water as in the 5-gallon jug. Huh? Even though I got it out of the 1-gallon jug. No big deal. See, people just don't let their minds go. They want to get so complicated, want to get so spiritual. Oh, hogwash. The most spiritual person in the man who simply believes God, especially when it's vindicated. So, he says here, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now that's complimentary to a child of God that God brought forth. What else would you expect of him? Huh? Oh, you're my son. I'm God, you're my son, and you will grovel. And you'll be some kind of a misfit. But don't worry, through the ages we'll work out a mutation. And we'll get you from a tadpole to a human being. It's a good thing I got a strong stomach. Because there's things like this that very, very, very seriously disturb me. But notice, an enemy, the devil, sows another seed. Now, that's exactly what the scripture says. He sows another seed. That's exactly why Eve said, when rotten old came to the devil, slew Abel. And Seth came on the scene, he has granted another seed. Because the seed Abel, I beg your pardon, Seth, was millions of miles different from the seed Cain. Remember, the scripture distinctly says that Eve was the mother of all living. It says nothing about Adam being the father of the living. So if it doesn't say it, don't grant it. You got a car sitting there, and on the window it says, in 300 miles we'll change the tires. But it doesn't say one thing about the battery. Then don't go and say, well, when you change the tires, you might as well give me a battery. They'll look at you and say, oh boy, another one. You know what you'll get? You get the tires with no battery. Eve was the mother, and proven scientifically, Eve is the mother of all living, but there's nothing said about the father. Now that's science. It has developed in what, the last 2 years or three? I don't know. Time goes so fast, I don't know where I'm here, back in Chattanooga somewhere. All right, notice an enemy. And the enemy is called the devil. Number one is called God. From God somehow. Whatever God did to bring forth those children, and it's thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly described. The devil, an enemy, sows another seed, the children of the devil. Thus, this is Genesis 3 and 13. So we go to Genesis 3 and 13. And listen, you can never hear this enough, because everywhere you turn, people hate serpent seed. The only one thing that gives the answer to the Word of God, they hate it. 1,600 keys, and the one key that opens the Word, they don't want it. 1,600 formulas, one of which kills your TB and gets you free of TB. Do they take it? No. They take the one that clears the sniffles. They're not interested. You say, Brother Bale, how can they be so irresolute, so dissolute? Good question. You know why? Because they're children of the devil. That's all. Children of the devil. What do you expect from the devil? Huh? Who brought all this junk on, we see? All right, where are we at here? Okay. Genesis 3 and we said 13. I hope. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, which he undid me 100% morally, which means she had sexual intercourse. I don't believe that. Oh, God. What is the biggest pornographic thing on the market today? Humans and animals having sexual intercourse. Are y'all stupid this morning? I'm going to be nice. Sorry. Forgive me for saying that. But I want to arouse you and make you think. From almost the beginning of time, they've tried to cause human beings and apes and so on. It doesn't work. The horse and the ass are so close together, the seed can mingle, but they're hybrid. They kind of reproduce themselves. So it says right here, the woman said, I've been completely undone. He fooled me. That's almost always the woman's story. I was seduced, or I was raped. As far as I'm concerned, any woman raped, they should take the man and hang him, shoot him between the eyes with a .44. That'd get rid of the crud. You say, Brother Bailey, you're talking about me. Fine. You get yours down the end of the trail. God doesn't forget. The law makes excuses. God made a way. Turn that way down. Watch what happens. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, what did he do? He didn't get her to just look at the word and deny the word as to his true revelation. He got her into a horrible situation. She comes out of the thing pregnant. Now this beast here, this serpent, was the smartest of all creatures. He could talk. We think it's wonder we get a minor bird or a crow or a parrot to talk. This fellow couldn't only talk, he carried on a conversation. And he didn't wait to say, pretty bird, potty wanna cracker, potty wanna cracker. He came and started it. He said, Eve, have you thought of this? You better be careful what voices you listen to. Have you thought of this? What does it look like? Now, he said, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. God changed every bone in that creature's body. But you go to Brookfield Zoo, and you'll find right there that the boa constrictor has remnants of hips. And copulation is as human beings. They don't slither and round. But it's almost like a missionary position. And their blood's very close to ours. Because the serpent was a huge beast. Now put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Strange, isn't it, how there's one thing that really the human race can't stand is a snake. And it's funny how we call people snakes, too. So that's Genesis 3:13. And with it, we go to 1 Timothy 2. And let's just take a look at that. This is the Apostle Paul with the full revelation of the Word of God. And remember, Brother Branham's charge by Almighty God, if indeed it was Almighty God, was the prophet of that William Branham would sow the seed of the entire Bible, from the serpent in the garden to the prophet in the former reign. When did he preach serpent seed? 1958, around September. The man was commissioned by God to do it. People don't like God to commission people. Oh boy, they love to have God commission them. I heard from God. I can tell God. God deals with me. He answers my prayer. How many? How many? And one night I saw about 1,200 people, cripples, deaf, dumb, and blind, perfectly healed. What have you got in your life? Once in 20 years, your little stomach ain't cured. Well, that ought to do it, really. You're dealing with God the Magnificent. He's absolutely prolific and profligate in what he does for the people. Lest they should come back and said, I never saw enough. My, I strung up with William Branham. I ought to be flying around here with angel's wings. Well, don't look for it. It doesn't rub off. So 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and beginning at verse 12, I suffer not a woman to teach. Now listen, first of all, 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Eve shot her mouth off. The serpent came and said, yea, hath God said? She said, yeah, he certainly has said. She said, should have said, you better talk to my husband. It's forbidden that I talk. Oh, that's the tricky one. It's not just confined with women who make messes of so many things because they don't have the spiritual qualities and aptitude given down by God to handle the word. The men are just as virtually stupid. How many men do we have that never were called to minister? Get all the answers. Some of you sitting here, how many answers you got? Want to compare them with mine? Mine's right, yours wrong. See, Brother Bill, how do you know? Because I've been in ministry for over 50 solid years. That wouldn't make me right. But I can go to the scripture with everything Brother Branham said. When I can't, I just wait until the time comes. So he says here, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Subjection to what? She hasn't got a comment on the word. You and I don't have a comment on the word. We learn with our mouth shut and our ears open. Like one person said, you got one mouth and two ears. You ought to hear more than you say. Another fellow said, well, there's one thing you can shut, and it ain't your ears. You know? Bible says the same thing. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Eve did not have a right to handle the word of God. She had a right to clean the potatoes with Adam, to plant the carrots, to prune the trees. She had the right with him to control the cows and to control even the clouds and the fishes. She had marvelous co-equality with Adam, except with the word. God never talked to Eve, he talked to Adam. I know that's rough. See, women are smarter than men in many cases. The other day I had to go to an oncologist. I thought it was Dr. Nutaki. They gave me a woman. And I was pretty huffy. I said, ain't no woman going to bother with me. I ain't going to bother no woman. At my age, I can't afford to be huffy. If they don't like a drop dead, I'm dying anyway. And they'll answer to God for it. Sure they will. But she was very, very good. I found her absolutely excellent. And she didn't agree with the male doctor, whatever. And I'm on her side. The oncologist is better than the urologist. My book's far better. Far more understanding, far more everything. Women can be way, way smarter than men. In fact, I think they are. Like the female species is more deadly than the male. See, so Adam was first formed, then Eve. So you got to stay in tradition. The head of the woman is man, the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Then how can you make Christ God? Good question. Where's your Trinitarian hogwash now? Now listen, Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression, notwithstanding. She shall be saved in childbearing. What in the name of common sense has childbearing got to do with eating apples? Her conversation hasn't got a thing to do with it. It tells you right here. It is childbearing came out of the result of that serpent. And the study of history by Malik and Wilkinson will show you in the beginning the sons of God were children that herded sheep. They were mild, they were sweet, they were unwarlike, they were kind, they were loving, they worshiped God. But the others from Cain were violent, murderers, vituperous. Everything about them is what we call in the sinner. See? Now, notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Childbearing today is very rough. It's always been rough to a degree. But the degree of roughness has been the sorrow and the pain from the childbearing. But now you've got children that are turned upside down in the womb. You've got cesareans. You've got doctors pulling at little children until they become cerebral palsy, like my poor nephew. If he'd have been born a while ago, it'd been $1 million suit and he'd have won it. Don't ever let anybody tell you the doctor's not responsible for cerebral palsy. That's the way it is. It's just not something that happens. Poor old doctor, he got sucked in hogwash. You better start reading a few books and you'll find out a few things. Childbearing is almost an ugly thing today. Because of the ramification. Now they want you in the hospital one day, cut your prices down, boot you out for the next day. What if that woman needed help? Oh, forget it. What about that doctor's wife, the administrator's wife, had problems? Oh, my God, they'd fly her to California, Kalamazoo, and London. See? What's the secret? The secret is being godly. And women aren't going to have that trouble. I'm not saying it's possible that they don't have some trouble. See? They do. Jacob's wife had trouble. And she died in childbirth with Benjamin. Those things do happen. They're very, very odd. But you go back in her life, you're going to find she stole her father's idols. How much reality does she have in the God of Jacob? Well, that answers your question. But it shows you right here what happened in the Garden of Eden had to do with childbearing. And childbearing can only come by sexual desire. I don't care what anybody says. That's the prophet's own statement is right. This is the injection of serpent seed amongst the human race. Or the original sons of God. We see this in Genesis 3:20. You go see what we're doing is going back and looking at the original. Where everything was wonderful. Then suddenly, oy, my God, what happened? These wonderful people to God. God breathed in Adam the breath of life, which Adam as a human being was able to pass on those souls which were part of God. How many people really know that? Nobody knows that. Hardly. And yet it's the truth. If Brother Branham said, you were in your father. And who are you? You're the soul. Where did it come from? Came from God. Came right on by human generation. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. It's not likened to a horse. It's not likened to a tree. It has nothing to do with the cows and the pigs and the dogs and the cats. Men! You don't have a king without men. The kingdom of God's populated with God's own children. I mean absolutely from the loins of God, a part of God. Your people don't believe that. They don't believe anything. See what I said at the beginning? Simple assertion of fact leaves the people cold with their own envy. Well, I wonder what it really could be that way. What if it could really be that way? That is the way it is. Oh, man, we're not even halfway there, but there's some marvelous things to bring out here in this here. All right, we were looking at 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And Eve couldn't call Adam anything because he wasn't the father of all living. He wasn't the father of Cain. How in the name of common sense could a true son of God like Adam, even though he was buffaloed and sucked in? Hey, if you had a horse that got hit by a train, and the veterinarian could fix that horse up, a good stud, it could sire colts by a good mare. What's the difference? What if he was on his last legs and had some kind of disease, but the reproductive organs were fine? And you wanted a horse from him. You could have it. Well, I think maybe if I did that, bred that horse, that animal with my mare, you know, Brother Dale, I think maybe a cow would come out of it. You ever heard anybody talk such nonsense? Then why bring it to the Scripture? I don't understand. Oh, I do understand, but I get a little impatient. All right. We see this in Genesis 3 and 10, and we're continuing now in Genesis 4 and 1. Eve is the mother of all living, but Adam is not. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now already the serpent knew her, and she conceived, and Cain came along. And she said, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. And again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the soil. Process of time came to pass, and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he was also brought of the first of the flock, and the fat thereof, and the Lord did respect unto Abel his offering, but unto Cain his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now can you believe for 1 minute that a son of Adam, Cain, if he were, would be different from Abel? Cain would be the firstborn. With all the right to the inheritance, he would be the one propitiously so made that he would zero in on the inheritance from God. Why, this guy was a mess. The Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and desires be underneath, thou shalt limit. The actual Greek, the Septuagint, for some reason, says it a little different. It says, if thou hast rightly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided. And if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned. And that's 100% what Paul said. It wasn't that this guy Cain didn't see the word, didn't know something from God, but he chose to use it in his own manner. And he offered a first fruit type of offering. He wasn't listening to God. You don't offer a first fruit type of offering until you offer blood for sin. The first fruit shows that, hey, I'm glad the blood atoned for me and the horrible effects of sin are out of my life. And now I'm walking in the light and I'm bearing some fruit unto God. Cain couldn't do that. See? We better keep reading. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now you see what brought the curse on? The shedding of innocent blood. Why is our world in such a mess today? The shedding of innocent blood. See, God's word never fails. God destroys them that destroy the earth. God destroys them that destroy his people. There's no peace, my God, saith to the wicked. What a terrible, terrible thing. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a bonder shalt thou be in the earth. Now that's something. A fugitive and a bondage. Always running. And always in bondage. Why is the world today so full of fear and all these terrible syndromes that the doctors are trying to work on to help people? Psychiatrists, psychologists, MDs, DOs, other types of practitioners, of which the chiropractors seem to be even better. They can reach in there and begin to find what's wrong with you, why you can't be adjusted, why you can't be healed. They begin to ask you questions. What happened in 1991? What happened in 1993? What happened in 1984? And as they talk to you, that all comes to the surface, and pretty soon they can adjust you, begin to feel better. Vagabonds. Vagabond is a person with no authority over him. Running from pillar to post. Fugitives. You're just running. You can't stand still for the peace of God. Be still and know that I am the Lord. That's foreign to every single one. And it shall come to pass, everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And so on. See, what a difference that is from the beginning. Where do you find people in control? There's nobody in control anymore. The wicked are killing the righteous. And when they don't kill them, they take and rape them and take them for wives. And then you've got these literally illegitimate children of the two natures and the two breeds in them. Now, you can be the sweetest child of God in this earth here. Nobody's going to fuss about it. What if one day you develop cancer? Great big running sores in your body, or like Job. You can still be that child of God inside, but being me, you suffer. And you cause problems. And if somebody gets a hold of some of the stuff on your skin, like AIDS and all, you can't contaminate them. And what a terrible mess it is. So that's what you see here. The whole thing festers. The child of God is not accepted. You know why? Because Eve broke into that realm. She was a child of God. She was just like Adam. Difference between her and Adam was merely their sexual makeup. The spirit was the same. Do you think for one minute that Eve would have a spirit of something and Adam have a spirit of something and bring forth a child? Oh, come on. They got to have the same spirit, the same life. And it runs in continuity. See? Okay. Let's go to 1 John 3 and 7. Too bad people don't read their Bibles and get it down right. 3 and 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now they got you hooked right up to God. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. See? Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Tells you right there, there's a people. No matter what you see in this world, no matter how you look around you, there are people that believe God. They are not sinners. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. It tells you right there, it's passed on right on down. So as Brother Branham said, a virgin birth is nothing compared to a human birth of a true child of God. It isn't anything to it. God created the sperm and the egg for Mary, and it developed in her womb. She supplied the physical, mechanical contents, and the son Jesus Christ was brought forth. When it came to Jesus' own brothers and sisters through Mary and Joseph, you're counting in terms of billions and billions of sperm and thousands of eggs. And each one of those had to be brought together in God's mind, perfectly within Mary and Joseph, to bring forth that child. Oh, I don't know about that. You don't have to know anything about it. I'm not here to argue. I'm here for one minute, one thing. That's to nail down the things that a vindicated prophet of God brought us. See? Now, let's keep reading. And it says here, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God. Mark left some things out here because they're interpolation. They only confuse you. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now listen, let's get it flat. What did the Matthew 13 say? The wicked one is the devil. Who was it that went to Adam and brought her into complete seduction, into complete humiliation, seduction, and got her pregnant? The serpent did. So don't try to figure something out. That's what it is. All the theologians say, well, you become a serpent seed because you turned down God. Until that time, you're a child of God, and you get turned to serpent seed because you turn him down. Why don't you go to the horse and check on the horse and say to the horse, now, horse, I don't think you're perfectly right here. Your next child you're supposed to have is a mule. And the horse would say, drop dead. Say, my God, and I thought you humans were the one that came from God. Looks like I came from God more than you did. Maybe we ought to have Walt Disney make a film on this. I wish we could afford it. I don't think it'd sell. But open people's eyes to realize, because you can animate cartoons just like the real thing, like Mr. Ed and those. And tremendous truth could come forth. See? Now it is Cain as a wicked one that slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. What was his righteous brother's act? The right sacrifice. What was his evil act? The wrong sacrifice. And that's what the killing came out of. So therefore with evil was the right act done with the wrong person. Done with their husband brought forth Abel and Seth. Done with the serpent and brought forth Cain. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Brethren don't hate each other. They can have squabbles, but there's no hatred there. If a man really hates you, you better look into it. Either you've got good cause to, or you're entirely wrong. One of the two. Now, with that we go to Genesis. Because I want to show you this. I've showed you this before, but it's tremendously worthwhile and tremendously interesting so that you get everything all lined up. You're kind of saying, this is so beautiful and so simple. Now, in Genesis 5, now we're looking at serpent seed and sons of God. Keep that in your minds. Okay. 1 to 3 in Genesis 5. This is the book of the generation of Adam. Cain's not in it. And Cain's living. In the day God created them, in the likeness of God made he him. Then she was made in his likeness. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now with that we just hop right over to the book of Luke. And it's the third chapter, I guess, on the genealogy. And let's look at it. The genealogy in Luke concerning Joseph. 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Well, Brother Vail, it doesn't mean that. Adam was merely a son by creation. I don't think anybody in here in this church has adopted a child. For fun, let's find out. Has anybody here adopted a child, a boy or a girl? Nobody. Well, let's say you adopted a child. Wouldn't that really be your child? Hogwash. So that's what you see right here. Adam was the son of God. God procreated him. It was not an act of creation only. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, showing that Adam would be the propagator. And it said Adam became a living soul, showing that the propagation was by the soul, which was the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's life. You give any life the required conditions of a womb, or not necessarily a womb, although that's usually the way, and the necessary elements, and that life will come into manifestation through those elements. Now that's not hard to understand. Can't understand that. It's about time to go back to school. All right. This shows the continuity of unchanging seed. God's seed, God's seed, God's seed, God's seed, God's seed. And it's right in the genealogy. Serpent seed, serpent seed, serpent seed, serpent seed. And it is not in the genealogy that goes back to God. Now you might wonder why Judas's name was in the book of life. It couldn't help but be in the book of life because he was a child of Adam. And his name was taken out of the book of life. Because all children of Adam are not a God. So, seed number one is a God and cannot change. Now, there's where we get our argument. Pay no attention. Go right down the road. Because we're right and they're wrong. Number two seed is of Satan. And it cannot change. Now, let's just go and find out. We go first of all to the book of Jude, which is that tiny book before the book of Revelation. Got just a few verses in it. And let's see, what are we looking for Jude? Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Here we are, Jude 1, Jude 10. But these people, serpent seed, see? These speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, no revelation, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They're just like Cain, and they do what Cain does. They run eagerly after the heir of Balaam. Money's involved. For reward. And gains, and die in the gainsayings of Korah, which they rely upon their silly Pentecostal prophecies instead of the revealed word of Almighty God that's been vindicated. And that's everywhere. And that's what Brother Branham ran into. And this is how we run into guys like Sheely and all these guys come up here. And they ditter-datter, mitter-matter, some little honky-tonk stupid thing. And the people run for it. Well, let me tell you one thing. When they run for it, they're not my brothers and sisters. Away with them. Don't fool with them. Don't go near them. Forget it. Spend your time with the children of God. Dress in the righteous clothing of God. Now, let's just find what Jesus had to say. We go to John the 8th chapter. These are some of my favorites. I just love these. Man, oh man. So we go to John. 8 John, and it's 37 to 47. And I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Now there's your secret right there. What is that soul? A receptacle for the word of God. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Now, just a minute, that's 2,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago. Showing the continuity of the seed. I believe, and I'm not saying this is true, hypnotism is a trick. But I believe that people can be regressed under hypnotism. down through their ancestries. And some of you, whether you know it or not, you may have an ancestor come out of Egypt. And because it is a life, and that life must stand before God, and there's nothing lost concerning its record. A good hypnotist could have some of you people speaking in ancient Spanish, I beg your pardon, Egyptian, which nobody knows. And not be one thing wrong. It's just that life coming up, and that life coming up. If Jesus could recognize certain spirits in Gethsemane, and Brother Branham, our great prophet, the same man, could recognize the same spirits, don't tell me anything changes. Oh, they piddle around, they muddle around, they bring out their mutations, and they scream how great they are. And I just have no time for their nonsense. You know why? Because it gets to the doctors and everybody else, and you and I end up behind the eight ball. Oh, God, have pity. Let's keep reading. And it says in 38, I speak that which I've seen with my father, you do that which seen your father. The answer said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Notice the parallel? Hey, no matter what Abraham heard from God, just went ahead. Whatever Jesus heard, just went ahead. You do the works of your father. That's Cain. Right down through the serpent. From the serpent. And they said, listen, we be not fornication. They understood serpent seed. They understood it. People try to tell the Jews don't understand serpent seed. Come on, the Jews are smart as a whip. It's these dumb Gentiles are goofy as bedbugs. See? We be not born of flesh, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. But you, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Notice the condition of serpent seed. Hey, listen a minute. Could these people here be of God that Jesus ran down and talked to? No way, shape, or form. 44, you're of your father devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer in the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. No soul with the gene. No gene of God. When he speak of a lie, he speaks of his own truth, a liar, and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you find me wrong in one word? Can't do it. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He, now listen, he that is of God heareth God's word. Now the big thing is, what is the word of God? Can there be a doubt in this hour when we have a man with a pillar of fire and thus saith the Lord and never fails? Find us something to match it. They can't do it. But they won't believe it. That's their business. Hey, I'm not out to save the world. I'll talk to those who listen. You're not of God. Then the Jews answered and said, say we not, well, thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil. Always the big jeer, always the big sneer. They don't have an answer because they haven't got one. Bring us a man, Mr. Pope. Come on, stand right here. You're the vicar of Christ. Stand here and give me one, thus saith the Lord. Come on, just one. We got a man that gave hundreds. He's not going to come and do it. I'm the vicar of Christ. I'm the vicar of Christ. And the people listen to his bluff. Serpent seed. Come on. Children of God, hear the voice of God. How many children of God are there? Not very many. See, there can't be. Now notice verse 37. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, let's just take a quick little jump over to Romans 9. Romans 9. We love Romans 9. That's that great chapter on predestination. And in Romans 9, we come up starting with verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now see, what he's telling you here is this. Abraham in his body carried the two kinds of seeds. The seed of God and the seed of the serpent. And he can have 1,500 children by 30, 40 women, whichever 50 or 100 women. But the only true children of Abraham, real children, would be from the seed of God within the man. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And what is the promise? They're the ones that got it through human instrumentality to take over the kingdom eventually, because God cannot take back his word. In the meantime, there's an interruption. In the meantime, there's discrepancy. But wait till the end of the season. They'll burn everything but the children of God. Notice in verse 9, this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. God never came the time that Abraham had a son by Hagar. That was Sarah's doings. Crazy women. I don't dislike women. But I want you to know certain things. Women have their place and men have their place, and don't get out of place. Now, if a woman wants to be like a man, and they do, they wear men's clothes and everything else, it shows what they are. And now the men are trying to be like the women, earrings and everything else shows what they are. You got a mess on your hands like you simply can't believe. They said years ago when you saw two people in the back seat of a car, you just knew one was a boy and one was a girl. Now you got to take them out and undress them. That's the truth. Kid came by yesterday to do some measuring and had two stupid earrings in his ears. It's not that he can't do a good job at work. I didn't say the guy wasn't a good artisan, could do things, but I tell you one thing. If he was my boy, I think I'd tell him, stay out of the house, don't come near me. Just go your way to you. So, well, just a minute, Brother Vale. Well, just a minute, you. I'm a true child of God. If he isn't one, he's going to be someplace else anyway. Sure, treat him nice and be nice, but you better know there's a different brother, sister. This is a word of promise. Sarah will have a son. And not only this one, Rebekah also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, the eggs were in her womb and the sperm was in his loins, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but in him that calleth. And it said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now what are you going to do about the word of God? Well, I'll tell you what, I couldn't serve a God like that. Fine, I know you couldn't, you're serpent seed. You don't hear God. You don't have anything to do with God. You want your own blasphemous organization and creeds and dogmas and all that kind of junk. Who needs it? See? All right. Notice how Matthew 13:38 is the same as 1 John 3:9-12. That's the parable. Well, it's a mystery. John 13:38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, it doesn't say one thing about them being children of the kingdom. So when it's time for the kingdom to come, they won't be there. And I don't care whose children they are and how nice they are. Now, this is the same as 1 John 3:9-12. Which we looked at a while ago. But it's good to look at it to keep bringing it back and forth on the grounds that you get a continuity built up in your minds and you're putting on your garments. You're getting ready. You're not going to put on the garments of God by believing something different about this and having your own ideas. So it says here 9-12, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Every single one, I don't care if you're in the same lump, they will come to the word and believe it. And it doesn't mean for 1 minute that they're goody-goodies. You can be just like David. He got too big for his own britches. And so does Solomon. And so does just about everybody else. The children of God are not infallible. They're just a certain part. As Brother Branham said, there come a day and you realize you always were saved. Hey, you come a time just like now, there's a certain part does not sin. The spirit, the mind, and the flesh, but never the soul. If it's a God, accepts the word of God right down the line. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not a God. It tells you they both worship in separate, different ways. And that's why the organizational serpent seed bunch can't stand us. That no more they can stand Jesus or Paul, because they say, you're going to do it our way or else. And we say, drop dead. Anybody kills the body's fine, but they can't say, but God said, fear those who can kill body and soul in hell. That's serpent seed, not the other. Okay. Notice how Matthew 13:38 is the same as John 3:9-12, and pinpoints the wicked one as the devil. It tells you flat the wicked one is the devil. And people say, well, I just don't really believe that that could be a child of the devil. Then neither can you believe the other can be a child of God. Oh, Brother Dale, there's a difference. Why don't you come and show me? Give me one, thus saith the Lord. I'm in pretty bad shape today with arthritis. I didn't sleep till after midnight last night. Finally, I took sleeping pills, and thank God they worked. You talk about suffering. Just come on by and lay your hands on me and say, thus saith the Lord, you're healed, let it be healed. Now here's a good chance. Just come and do it. I'll be there waiting for you. Pretty silent bunch. And why not believe the word of God? I've had good ministries. I've said to people, hey, just get out of the way and pretend you're not here and I'll take over, seeing them here left and right. Why can't I find somebody to do that for me? I've done that not too far a long time ago. What I got doesn't work for me. Tell them, pray the kind of faith, prayer of faith. I ain't got none. Oh, all kinds of testimonies. They'll tell you everything, phone you and everything else, and we're praying this and that, and I'm sure this, blah, blah, blah. Well, come on, listen, I'm still a bag of bones of suffering. Do something about it. Stranger, well, it's nice to be put in this spot. I'm putting on the spot. Like Brother Branham said, why shouldn't anybody else be? The wicked one is the devil. Pure and simple. No argument, no reason. Now, on top of that, Brother Branham has set forth, after reading the mystery, that this actually applies to the end time, which is our time. Malachi 4, the burning of the earth like an oven. And also Elijah must truly come. And is without a doubt, Hebrews 6, 1-9. Every generation, and this one the same thing. As soon as Brother Branham sowed the true word of God, you got a bunch of guys come behind sowing the false word of God. The Trinitarians all win Jesus only pretty well, and that's just as bad as being a Trinitarian. We're not Jesus only. Jesus is not his own father. The Lamb never came down. The Lamb's on the throne. The Lamb's not comatose. He's alive. He's the high priest. He mediates. He intercedes. He's waiting for the next incarnation. We'll be up there at the wedding supper to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that spirit's amongst us get incarnate to us. I know where these guys are coming from. They believe this message? What message do they believe? I'd like to know. Clear and simple as ABC. That's what Hebrews 6 tells you. Does a great job telling you. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's the Logos of Christ. Leave the idea now where God was incarnate in Jesus. Go to perfection. Finish the thing off. Polish it off. Finish. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, changing your mind about all the things you used to do, and the faith toward God. They're wrong on it. The doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this will do if God permit. We'll have this all down perfectly pat. Now we're going to go to the end. Well, there's no more message. It's all over. You've heard the last message. The last great messenger. Well, God didn't permit. Now, he said, for it's impossible is once for all enlightened to taste the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to ever give them a change of mind again, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put an open shame. At the end time, what they do, they reject him entirely and crucify him. How? By refusing to change their minds. That's how it happened in the first place. Jesus came with the proof of God. God vindicating himself to Jesus. God vindicating Jesus to the people. God vindicating the word. Convinced me in one word. Ah, they said, forget it. And they crucified him. On what grounds are they crucifying? On the word. Tell me for what good work you stole me. Oh, none at all. Hey, you can open a soup kitchen any day. We'll all have fun eating any good soup you make. And we'll just keep the graveyard from getting any fuller. Keep raising the dead. And healing our sick. Oh, no, 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 no problem there. But you opened your mouth against us. And we ain't going to take it. Happened to Paul. Happened to Luther. Happened to Wesley. Happened to Pentecostals. Everybody loved Brother Branham, the great bringer of the healing revival of the last day. And sit the great Pentecostal monolith into high speed. Great. And those are just one God. Oh, you know what he said? He doesn't believe in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Ah, that's horrible. Well, I can tell you right now, the man's not a God. And I can take each one of those dunderheads, those stupid, insipid idiots, and read them the Bible the way they believe it. There is one man between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that. Jesus is a man. He is not God. He is not God intrinsically. But by permission of God, he is God on the grounds that he can be worshipped. As it says in the book of Revelation, it says at the end time, everybody can partake of the Holy Ghost, the powers of the world to come, the good word of Almighty God, and still fall away. Because they didn't change their mind. What had happened. Hebrews 6 also shows that every age contains the two seeds. Because Hebrews 6 is the end time. It's been going on for seven ages and now it's harvest time. Now having recapped again so that you are utterly and irrevocably convinced. Oh boy, that's wishful thinking on my part, but I've got to have a little faith on that. I read it again. Now having recapped again so that you are utterly and irrevocably convinced, so they boil in oil, of the serpent seed message by God who vindicated himself to the prophet, vindicated the prophet to us, and there, by two vindications, brought the third perfect vindication of a perfect word for this hour. We can go on with the knowledge that Brother Branham is teaching two seeds that produce three kinds of believers in the church, the unbeliever, make-believer, and the true believer. If I'm a make-believer, I don't know that I am. I don't know. Always thought I really believed what I taught. How many minutes we got? Huh? Well, sure doesn't leave us much time, does it? Just going back to what we read a couple Sundays ago, now we find that this discrepancy, that's the serpent seed bunch, has been sowed through every age. If it was possible to get in the next 10 minutes, I'd do it, but you can't. Down through the ages, most of all of us read the Bible or read the Bible. And now, like when Jesus came, he found that discrepancy, that which was contrary. He was the Word made manifest, and everything came against him. If the whole world comes against you for your heresy, because that's what they call it, how you worship God, say, hallelujah. They said to Brother Branham, we hear there's 10,000 believe this message. He said, God has shake them off. There's too many. Now they say there's 250,000, they're being written up. I got the biggest kick out of everything. I'm the one God's written up and hated by everybody, and my name isn't in print anywhere. That's a good joke. That's wonderful. Down through the ages, most of all, we read the Bible. And now, like when Jesus came and he found that discrepancy, that contrariness, he was the Word made manifest. He was God's interpretation of the Word. Because he said, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify me. And they said, listen, but we've searched the scripture. You're just a young upstart of 30 years of age. And he pulled their beards and said, look, we're 75 and 80 years of age, and we've searched the scripture. We'll quote it to you. We don't find you anywhere. Huh? Now tell me that's any different today. Anybody want to take me on? I could eat a good T-bone steak one of these days. That's what it'll cost you. You can't prove me wrong. It's the same thing every single time. Because a horse is a horse is a horse is a horse, and a pig is a pig, and a pig is a pig. And a child of the devil, he never changes way, and bless the God, you can say the same thing about a child of God. The same modus operandi. They are different conditions, sometimes more blatant and outstanding others, but there's never any change. They don't care two bits if we build houses for people and we build hospitals and we help everybody. But the minute we say there is only one God and Jesus is His Son, the minute we preach the truth, this is the last hour, and tell the people what the true rapture is, oh, that's impossible. Hey, well, what about all the good things I've done for you? Well, shouldn't you have done it anyway, but you got no right to foist your stupid ideas upon me. Isn't that the way you do it? Oh, come on, read your papers. Yeah. They testify me. Oh, they said, like fun they do. There you are. He was the interpretation of the word, and he was. Like John the Baptist. And every born again son and daughter of this age is the interpretation of the word. How? By your good deeds, your lack of good deeds? No, by your testimony. You stand with the word of God. Of course you've got a life that goes with it. I can't stand these birds that are always worrying that we've got no life here, because I tell the people, look, when you sit under me, you got a danger of almost dying, because I just teach word doctrine, and there should be a lot of the other taught too. But my God, if you've been Christians all these years and you don't know how not to steal and how not to commit adultery and how not to covet, now get out of here. You're not even got the first part. Go someplace else. Think I'll go for holding. Don't bug me. Notice, in vain they worship me, teaching discrepancy for doctrine. That's wrong scripture. Wrong conclusions. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine for doctrine discrepancy, the doctrine of men, creeds of men, teaching that to be the Word of God. When there's nothing to do with the Word, certainly because it's been spoiled and changed. You go ahead and you make a batch of cheese, and somebody comes by and throws something in, and it turns into Limburger, which is fine. People do eat it. You ain't got the same thing. It's not the same cheese. No, he's trying to sell it for Swiss cheese. I said, Swiss what? Dirty socks? You're not going to sell it for that. How you going to fool God? He knows when you turn the milk of God into Limburger cheese instead of Swiss cheese. Notice he says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for discrepancy, doctrine, teaching, yeah. Doctrine of men for creeds, but an undo the word of God. All right. Look, each age produced such a crop. Every age has done it, and ours is no excuse or no exception. We have the same thing in a greater age of it than all other ages put together, for this is the ending of the world history. This is the greatest discrepancy ever been upon the earth. It is, because it's so close to the real. Oh, it's so cunning. Satan is among the people. Well, hallelujah, so is God. Oh, the people are in it. Oh, Satan's amongst the people. Look at the terrible things. Oh, my, look at it. I say, hallelujah, God's amongst the people. You know what the Bible says about Satan? One day he's thrown in the pit, and the people are going to come by, and they're nearly going to look and say, is that the one that caused all the trouble? I can't believe that I let him cause me all this trouble. He's a bluff. Just like the Pope. He says he's the vicar of Christ. And he's here to teach Mariolatry. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It isn't to me. The guy's a phony four-flusher as ever was one. Forget it. You can't have tripe like that, my brother, sister, wrapped around a good roast beef. Spiritual food in due season is pure. It's not full of the vomit of other ages. Look, each age produced such a crap. Every age has had it. Ours is no excuse. They got the same thing and greater age of it than all other ages put together. For this is the ending of world's history. It's all over. This is the greatest discrepancy ever been on earth. Is on the face of the earth today. Discrepancy of other ages pulled them away from the true and living word to Rome to idols. Today Jesus said in Matthew 24, be so close, it would deceive the very elect apostle. Why? Because they got gifts of the Spirit, they live right, they do this, and one day they're going to come before God, and he said, you didn't say the right thing. Remember Brother Branham said to some people, if you say the right thing, you're going to get it? When the bride learns to say the right thing, there'll be a rapture. Brother Branham said so, can say the same thing. This is a great discrepancy upon the earth. It's upon the face of the earth today. Discrepancy of other ages pull them away from the true and living God, the idols. Today, Jesus said in Matthew 24, so close it deceived the very elect that it was possible. Talk about discrepancy. Oh, it's so cunning, Satan among the people. And such a theologian, such a doctor of divinity, can teach that word almost perfectly. What about the Trinitarians that turn Jesus only in this message? You don't you think for 1 minute they're pretty close? But just watch him. There'll be some where he said, well now, that wasn't for this. Oh, yes it is too. See, because God said it was. And so they say, Brother Branham's not Elijah. He was a great man, but he just got fooled. Why the West Coast hasn't gone under yet? Different things hasn't happened. Every now and then I read an article purported to be given by some preacher that believes in Brother Branham, and I know that he's not being quoted right by the newspaper man. They got it all backwards, inside out. I thank God when they wrote me, I wouldn't answer them. I said, phooey. They just want to trick you. They said, Brother Bale, we're just going to give an accurate account, blah, blah, blah. Then they say, you see, with Brother Branham, he wasn't Trinitarian. So I simply say, well, there's one mediator between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. He said, just a minute. I said, no, you just a minute, because that's what you said. They're ignorant. They're not just ignorant, they're insane. 4-year-old kid without God knows more than they do. He that knows much receives many stripes. Look what it did. That same discrepancy brought God's wrath upon the earth in the days of Noah when God sent his apostles. I'm going to quit there, I think, but with a little bit of help from the Lord, I can make a recap next Sunday if the Lord helps me. What's next Sunday? 19th? 19th, that's 7 days from the time. I get the recap. We can start right there and show you some things that took place way back in the days of Noah. And the things were back there, how they're repeating today. Because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What was is going to be, and what is has already been. The Lord requires that which is past. So you see, we don't need to find ourselves remiss and not ready for the great day of the Lord. If there's any problem at all, brothers and sisters, with us, it isn't with God. The Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, we're so grateful that we've had the privilege of being this long with you and your people. We know it's tedious for me, but I know it's much more tedious for them, but I do hope that they've caught some glow and some glimpse of the irrevocability of the two seats, where there's just no use trying to talk different. The serpent seed, Lord, in your way and what you're doing. Just no use trying to say different. It's come to the place where we have a change of mind. We come to the place where we let down all the barriers and all the veils of our heart and say, Lord, you're right, we're wrong. And so, Lord, you correct us day by day because we don't have a help within ourselves. Until that day comes, Lord, when we're speaking exactly the word of truth, the word of God, We're talking to you. We're talking to each other. We're doing it in church service. And then we know, Lord, the bride will be fully dressed and prepared. And one day the dead will come forth from the ground and we'll all take up to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We know it's not too long, but if it is, Lord, and people like myself are deceased, we're going on, that's perfectly good, Lord. I certainly don't mind. Because certainly come to the place, Lord, where it's right or wrong. There's no use trying to equivocate. There's no use trying to argue. There's no use trying to set the books in position. There's no use trying to get our minds this way, that way, our souls this way, our spirits this way, that way. We know, Lord, it's too late. The die has been cast. Everything is crystallized. We're just waiting now for the last little shakedown, the last little bit. And then it's all over, Lord. It's all over for your saints especially. So you've already come to visit by your presence, the appearing, and put everything in order. Judged us and made us free of guilt and shame and degradation. Help us to receive it, Lord, and walk in the truth and the light thereof. Because we know, Lord, it's our fault. And somebody, Lord,'s got to do it. May we be the ones. Pray, Lord, you heal the sick amongst us. Go with now who go. And may they love the word of God. May they enjoy the spirit and things of our Lord in Jesus Christ. And may they not be intimidated. May they not be afraid. May they not think for one minute we're trying to hurt anybody by our uncouth way of saying things at time, Lord. Because, Father, it doesn't matter to us at all what anyone believes between him and God. And my job, Lord, is only to those who already believe as we do to nail it down and clinch the nail. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, world without end. Amen and amen. Take the name.